Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. We finished our program a couple days ago right in the middle of a testimony. Mark and Lynette Heineck went to Costa Rica in following God's leadership to be involved in church planting, but Mark, God changed the heart there, and you became a seminary of one and began to help other pastors in their work. But in that process, you asked if you could begin working with teenagers.
Yes.
And Karen, you were one of those teenagers. You were right in the middle of your testimony how that what they were teaching you didn't really make you guys happy because you felt like, yeah, that goes against our culture, against what we believe. But they were showing it to you in the Bible, and that really messed you up. It was in the Bible.
Yes,
so you kind of had to believe it. And so pick up from there, if you will.
Okay. Tiempo después, entendimos que teníamos una meta.
Sometime after that, we realized that we had a goal in life.
Llegar a reflejar la imagen de Dios en nuestras vidas y vivir para Él.
That we needed to reflect the image of God in our life and let that shine forth in our life.
Es increíble ver lo bendecido que hemos sido a través de una familia dispuesta a hacer la voluntad de Dios y compartir lo mejor que tenía. Jesús. Es increíble ver lo bendecidos que hemos sido a través de una familia dispuesta a hacer la voluntad de Dios.
It was hard to believe how much we were against a family that was so willing to help us.
Y ellos compartieron lo mejor que tenían. Jesús.
They shared the best that they had. They shared Jesus with us.
Nuestra meta futura es continuar en el ministerio.
Our future goal is to continue in the ministry.
Compartir con otros lo que hemos aprendido.
We want to share with other people what we have learned.
This is Pastor Ken. I just have a question for you, Karen. So you came to Christ when the Heinecks came to work with you, or were you already a Christian?
Yo ya era un cristiano en ese momento.
I was already saved at this time.
Okay. But you were just fighting the Lord. And one question for you, Mark or Lynette. So you get over there and you tell these teens, I don't really know what to do with you. But then they treat you kind of probably in a unkind way.
They're never very unkind to you. They will smile, and the word is amable. They're very nice to you. But the minute they're behind your back, then the truth comes out, and we didn't see it.
Uh-huh.
So they'd come out, oh, we got to go to the Heinecks to listen to this and stuff. And they'd smile, and then they'd eat the food and then leave.
Yeah. Well, what brought them to the Heinecks? The food?
I would say that was a big part of it.
Yeah, there you go. Teens still like food, Pastor Greg.
Now, was it pizza?
Yes.
We started out with pizza, but okay. I tried to have a variety, so we pretty much had something different on the menu every week.
Oh, don't tell me it was something healthy every time.
Oh, no.
Okay, all right, good.
Teens don't really go for the healthy stuff.
I didn't think so.
Well, Keith Fleming, you know, who's our executive pastor here, he's always talking about how great your homemade pizza was, so I guess, Karen, you like their homemade pizza?
It's the best pizza in the whole world.
It's the best pizza in the whole world, man. That would be a marketing slogan right there for you. Heinecks Pizza, the best in the whole world.
Yeah, and we also, we'd give them one of the foods they really loved was Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah.
But trying to get that across to them in Spanish, it was Josue Sucio. And they looked at us like a dirty Joseph.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so back to you, Karen. So you were a believer. You weren't really living for the Lord. You weren't really excited that they came. You guys were talking behind their backs, you know, didn't like them being there. But they kept loving you, feeding you. What was it that they just kept loving you and feeding you and you just grew closer to them? Or you finally allowed the word of God to kind of break your heart? Or all of the above?
Yo pienso que era una mezcla de las dos cosas.
I think it was a mixture of both things.
Porque teníamos la palabra de Dios.
Because we had God's word.
Pero también teníamos otra familia.
But we also had family.
Entonces era fácil sentirse cómodo y sacar las preguntas que teníamos.
So it was really easy to feel comfortable and ask them the questions that we had always had that had never been answered.
Like, what was a question that the teens had that was frustrating to them that they never thought was answered?
Siempre teníamos preguntas, por ejemplo, acerca de ropa o estilo de vida, y eran contestadas con ¿por qué no? O porque soy su papá y no.
One of the basic ones was always with how to dress or how to live, but when we'd ask our parents, it was always because I said so, or you just do it.
And so they put scripture to that for you?
Sí, ellos contestaron con un versículo en la Biblia o nos preguntaron, ¿por qué quiere hacerlo? ¿Dónde lo vio? Si lo vio en el mundo, no tiene sentido.
Yes, they always answered everything with scripture, and then they would also ask, so why do you want to do that? Do you want to do it because the world's doing it, or what is your reason behind that desire?
So we see that young people are the same around the world.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
Very much so.
Yeah. So instead of responding with rules that leads to rebellion, you need to respond with relationships that leads to revival.
We had, we worked on relationships. I had three simple rules.
Okay.
I said, show up on time, turn off your phone, and listen to the lesson. And that was it. And actually, they complained quite a bit to their folks. Their folks came over saying, we hear you have this huge list of rules. I showed them it. They said, that's not so bad. But setting a firm standard of certain non-negotiables, but still, you know, I don't have to be a drill sergeant to pour this into you.
Right, right.
So when did you start really saying, hey, this thing with these teens, I like it?
Oh, wow. It was only a couple weeks after we started. I mean, I saw they weren't really following at first, but they were responding. Even in a negative way, they were still responding. I saw in the adults my age and above, there was a lot of complacency, just sitting in the pews and just saying amen to everything, but not letting it affect your life. Even if you wanted to respond negatively, at least I saw it in the kids, and I could work with them with that.
At this time, were you fluent in Spanish?
No. Absolutely not.
So did they make fun of your Spanish?
Oh, yeah.
They made fun of your Spanish?
They made
always.
Fun of my Spanish.
What's that? Always?
Yes.
So, Lynette, you pick up Spanish quicker?
I had a head start on it. I had studied it in high school and college, and then I had lived in Mexico for 7 months. And so that made it a whole lot easier for me. My husband didn't speak one word when we got into Costa Rica. So
has, I guess he's grown, his accent's gotten a lot better, or?
Ahora es mucho mejor que al principio.
He's much better now than
he was
better. In the beginning.
He has to be better than Pastor Greg and I. I mean, Pastor Greg has a little bit more his Hispanic flair in his dialect. I speak Bubba Spanish, Karen.
I have to share a story, though. When he was preaching once, he was preaching from 1 John on how we need to love one another. And the word in Spanish is amémonos. And he couldn't get the accent right, so he was saying ame monos, which doesn't mean to love one another, it means to love monkeys.
Oh.
And so he preached for a whole hour on how we needed to love monkeys, and we were all just dying laughing, but he was so focused on his sermon,
he didn't pick it up.
Well,
maybe he thought they were acting like monkeys. You know, it's hard to tell, you know. I mean,
you know, they're never going to let me forget about that.
Oh, well, of course not.
Yeah,
they get a good story like that.
Yeah, when we went to Mexico, you know, Kathy and my boys were like, oh, please, Dad, don't talk, because it's this Bubba Spanish I speak. Como está usted?
When we went to China, my wife thought if she spoke English slower and louder, the Chinese would understand. And we would just die laughing like, honey, it's still English. I don't care if you speak it fast or slow. It's still English. No comprendo.
We get a lot of visitors that think that.
And if you put an O on the end of every word, it's Spanish.
Right, right.
So how long did it really take you? Because, I mean, that would be some folks' fear, I'm sure.
You know.
The language, man, can I learn it? You know, I mean, well, how's this going to be?
I went to a language institute in San Jose that's only for missionaries, and I studied for a full year there, and it was just 5 hours of Spanish every day. When I got out and I got into this ministry in Sarchi, the pastor basically said, the best way you're going to get your Spanish, get up there and preach, and we'll work with your errors. And so at times during the message, they'd raise their hand and say, you want to say it this way.
Well, I can see that Karen has responded to y'all's love. And if she is just one illustration of how God has touched the hearts of those young people, how exciting it must be for them to kind of say to you, can we help you with a new work? Can we help you in your church planting? And I understand that's kind of the direction it's going.
Yes. I think one thing, too, that made a difference is we opened our home, and our door was always open. So they were able to come or call whenever they needed,
right.
and that's what made them feel part of our family. But it is just so thrilling to see them now have a desire to serve, and some of them already are in our absence right now. And they're not only serving, but now they're teaching other people what we've taught them.
Yeah, that's awesome. 2 Timothy 2:2.
What would you say, you know, you've been there, what, 10 years now?
Yes.
What's the biggest lesson that you'd say God's really shown you?
Oh, wow. It's about loving people. Ever since I got saved, I just told the Lord, you know, hey, I want to serve you as best I can and teach me how to do that through your word. And one of the aspects was just showing people godly love.
Because people probably showed that to you, right?
I guess, yeah, when I came to the church, they did.
Yeah.
You know, before that, I had lived a pretty rough life and with alcoholic parents and such, and so it came from that aspect. And when I got into the church, I saw people that loved each other and responded, and they were all behind me when I felt the call to the Lord to serve him in the ministry. And so when I got down there, the passage says, we love him because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that, just, you know, regardless of how they respond to you, just keep loving them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you know, at the beginning, they would kind of chuckle, oh, the gringos, this, that. But we just kept loving them, and they just said, these people won't stop.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think when you said you open up your home, Lynette, that is huge. I mean, that is definitely demonstrating love, that you're inviting them into your life.
Because hospitality is not so much about the condition of your home, mm-hmm. it's the condition of your heart. And they sensed your heart being open to them, and boy, when people sense that you care, then they care what you want to say. Well, we've run out of time, but be sure to join us in a couple of days, and we will continue our conversation with the Heinicks and Karen, and learning what God has for you in the days to come as well. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.